Praise the Lord, live stream listeners. Welcome to a Sunday school with the apostles. Come on and give God the praise, for he's worthy of all our praises. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We want to talk about some of the things we've been talking about, because what we've been talking about has been very, very important, especially from Thursday night. And of course, you know, Friday night was our evangelistic service. But from the Bible class and things we've been talking about, anything you want to turn over and talk about, let's do that and see where we're going from there.
Okay. You've been mentioning the spirit, how we move with spirits. But we hear spirits all the time. But the scriptures tell us to try the spirit by the spirit.
Okay.
What do the trying look like?
What you're asking, is everybody hearing what she's asking? Because this is crucial. The first thing I'm going to tell you is why we err. If you have knowledge in you that's not perfect, you're going to try the spirit by the knowledge that's in you. Now, are you going to know the spirit and discern it? No. And anytime we teach ourselves, we always are going to error, because that's where that spirit gets us. If Adam and the woman would have tried that serpent by what God said, we'd have been born in the garden. They heard it and tried it by their own discernment, that who was giving them. So anytime the serpent make you discern something, how you gonna see it? The way the serpent sees it. And if he persuades you to see it that way, are you gonna change?
No.
So trying the spirit by the spirit means, okay, you're taught. Here's a beautiful one. This is good. The Holy Ghost is talking. Jesus, there's some men with Jesus, right? And they said, want us to call fire down from heaven, right? What does he say? You don't know what spirit you're of. Now, had they ever read that in the scriptures? Because there's no New Testament, right? What do they have to read? And who called fire down from heaven in the Old Testament? Now, what do they want to do? Because they have not been taught, and now they want to pull from Elijah and call fire like Elijah. You can't do that. That was perfect. You can't do that because you read it in the scripture. How do you know that's what the Lord is doing in this moment? How do you know that's what he wants you to do? He wants you to be in agreement with him, not sometimes, but all the time. That's why when you are connected to an umbrella and you got a covering, do you know anything you hear taught in that covering, you have access to walk in immediately? Just from being subject and obedient and committed to the covenant, you can walk in immediately. But when you go outside of that and try to walk into something that has not been released, you're not going to walk in it. You're not going to walk in it. And to try it by the Spirit. So when I teach you, I'm teaching you by the Spirit. I'm teaching you by the Holy Ghost. I'm not teaching you by intellect. I'm not teaching you by like the natural man. I'm not teaching you anything according to the flesh. I'm decreeing that all flesh is grass and the glory of men is like a flower. So I'm teaching you not to have confidence in any of that knowledge whatsoever. None. Why do I don't want you to have confidence? Because this journey is about the saving of your soul. I really got to get you to understand this journey is about nothing but the saving of your soul. Don't let nobody make you think going to church is about something else. It's about nothing but the saving of your soul and getting back into the garden where you were supposed to live forever and eternally. We got to get back in the garden. And the garden ain't in heaven, by the way. Did I mess up anybody? So I'm trying to get you home. So you got to understand that. But that's what it means. If you move and it's not by what I've taught you, then you have not discerned the spirit you're moving with by the spirit I taught you with. 12 people, when Jesus spoke a hard saying, wouldn't move. Everybody else did what? Left. They said, this is a what? Hard saying. Jesus turned and said, will you go? What was their answer? Where shall we go? You have the spirit of life. You know what that's saying? Anybody that Jesus taught were never going to go anywhere. Because, excuse me, it's impossible for me to be in you and you separate from me. Does that make sense to anybody? Why is it that we can so easily separate ourselves? Because that's how much of you is not in them and they in you. Anytime you are in one another, do you know it's impossible to separate? That's what Jesus understood. He said, take up your cross and do what? Deny yourself. Why do I need to deny myself? Because there's something in me that's not in agreement with him. I got to know that from the gate. We need to know that when we come to church, ain't nothing in us in agreement with the Lord. He's not putting no check by nothing in us. We messed up. And somebody got to make us confess it enough to know we are. So you got to deny yourself because there's something in us that will not agree with him. They spoke some hard saying. Even Paul said at my first answer, what happened? All men did what? Forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. I want to tell you something. It is impossible for human nature or the natural man to hear the fullness of the gospel. Something in you gonna shake at some point or another. And it's gonna be evident that it's something in you that still resists. And the question is, are you gonna go with your understanding or are you gonna go with the spirit? That's the question. That's really the question. That's why Saul of Tarsus did what? He emptied out. That was discernment. He tried the spirit by the spirit. What did his knowledge and all his accolades make him do? Get in my talk to me. What did all of his accolades and all of his knowledge make him do? I need a mic because they got to record. You got to get a mic. Okay, during Sunday school, let those mics always stay down so they can reach them. They don't need to be high. Yeah.
You made him persecute
the church. It's not on.
You made him persecute the church.
It's still not on.
His knowledge made him persecute the church.
Yeah, same thing. Thank you. Okay. Listen, why is it that when we don't deal with our brothers and sisters right, why don't we throw that knowledge out? Why? If it make you an accuser of the brethren, why do you hold that knowledge? What did he do?
The church.
And what did he do with all his knowledge when he saw it doing that?
Threw it out.
Say it again?
He threw it out. He counted it as dung.
Why don't you count your knowledge dung when your righteousness isn't by faith? Why do you still trust in your flesh like that? This is preaching Jesus. This is preaching Jesus. This is how you preach Jesus, the man. You got to throw it out. You can't keep holding it. Well, they shouldn't have done that. No. No matter what anyone does to you, the gospel, the spirit of truth, has a way for you to respond. Is that true? Now, is there a reason you shouldn't? Does the Holy Ghost give us a reason not to respond the way it said respond? Does it? Then what is this making me not respond the way the Holy Ghost says respond? What should I do with that knowledge? Because the spirit of it is still where? In my mind. This is how you renew the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind is renewed not by letter. It's when you deny the spirit that wants you to move against the Holy Ghost. I'm hearing the Lord wants you to hear this because he's constantly ministering on this. Listen, the word is out in the book of Acts. All things are coming. The people are bringing everything and doing what? Laying it at the what? Apostles' feet. Two people have some knowledge in them that is against the move of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has them doing what? Bringing everything and doing what? Laying it. That ain't Peter and them begging and doing that. That's the move of the what? Holy Ghost is making them do that. Let me prophesy to you now. And I trust you remember because somebody's going to do it. When the Lord pour out the spirit of giving in this place, because you ain't seen it the way it's hit, it's going to hit. If anyone speak to you against it, I promise you they'll never reap. I just want to tell you now. Because the spirit gonna move like that. And somebody gonna do what? Have a problem with it, isn't it? Aren't they? And if they do, watch. It's going to be no different than that man when Elijah said tomorrow. Did that man have a problem with it?
Yes,
you don't know how much your flesh has a problem with the Lord. Our flesh has a serious problem with the Lord. Because it wants to be your God. Your flesh wants to be your God. It wants to rule over you. And when it can't do what God says do, it has a problem. And it talks junk about the move of God. Now, God ain't going to do that part for you. You're going to have to decide. You're going to have to choose. Who you going to yield your members to? Because whoever you yield them to, that's who severance you are. Ananias, back to the Ananias and Sapphira. The spirit of giving, they've given everything to apostle. How is it that the spirit in the place is given, and here comes a spirit with Satan? That's going to make them not do what? Give the way everybody else is giving. Everybody else is giving in one accord with the right spirit. How do you pick up a spirit in the midst of an atmosphere, in the midst of a heaven where everybody is given according to the Holy Ghost? You come in and ain't subject to the heavens over the place. They lied. They didn't lie to Peter. Peter said, what did they lie to who?
The Holy
Ghost. That man leaning on the king's staff, he didn't lie to Elijah. He lied to who? We lie against the spirit of truth and don't understand that's why we're not blessed. You can't speak against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven. So when someone reveals the truth to you, like we are all blessed to hear, including me. When we hear this truth, you can't sit and compare this with some earthly, sensual, devilish knowledge that serpent has given you. You shouldn't even give place to that voice at all. You shouldn't even listen to it. Because the Holy Ghost can't lie. Not the Holy Ghost. So they bring it in. You know the story. Why didn't they try the Spirit? By the Spirit. You see everybody doing it this way. You gonna walk in and do it some other way? Why? They both died. See, this is where we have to exercise ourselves. This is where we have to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. The Lord is not going to do that for us. I got to keep telling you, He's not going to do that for us. Because whose body, whose vessel? It's ours. The vessel is yours. It's your vessel. Now the Lord did the will of God in His vessel, because His was the Lord, because it came down from where? And when we are born again, the vessel should no longer be yours. Oh, Jesus Christ, my soul. Jesus. When you are born again, the vessel shouldn't be yours no more. So, I think that's enough to hold you, but the Lord wants you to hear that. And be careful how you speak like that. Because the enemy wants you to curse who? Because he can't curse nobody else. He wants you to make decisions that you shouldn't make. Because the Lord knows what's best for us. But how is it there is a spirit in us to make us believe He doesn't? Isn't that subtle? That's what I call subtlety. That He can speak to us and make us believe that what He has for us is not the best, that He's trying to hold something from us. And here's the key. The Lord wants to give it to you. Let me tell you the wisdom of the Lord. But He don't want to give it to you with holes in your bag. Not gone. He doesn't do that. The Lord does not put new wine in old skins, lest the bottle will burst. So why can't we get new wine? When are we going to get new wine? When the bottle get clean. He's not going to pour new wine in old bottles. It's going to burst. So the Pharisees has filled their bottle, filled their spirit with old wine. Jesus come and don't nobody want to hear Him. The anointing, thus saith the Lord, the anointing that the Lord is pouring out in this hour is only going to enter into those that can hear the truth and empty out the old. If you empty out the old, the anointing that's fallen in this place will remain on you and not go back. Now that ain't the Lord's responsibility, is it?
No.
That's who? So if you empty out the old, He'll fill you with this. Because it's being released in this hour. I think He's satisfied with what He shared with you concerning that. Anyone else? That was good. That was good. Yes. It's the blue one.
So I wanted to go back about discernment.
Okay.
Just to make sure that I'm not errant.
Okay.
I guess I'm not kind of getting an understanding about this discernment that we're speaking about.
Okay.
And because I always thought that discerning was a good thing, because you were discerning both good and evil. So I don't get that understanding there. And how is that different from when you're feeling someone? Like you feel someone.
It's two ways I can feel someone. I can feel someone to lust after them. And I can feel someone to be compassionate. One is after the flesh, the other is after the spirit. Which one you gonna yield to? It's never but how many? is never but two. So whoever you yield your members to makes it one. Okay, what the Lord revealed that night, that was my meditation that whole night, that the word is discernment, right? Now this is what I had to clarify in our minds. This is what I had to wipe out of our minds. I had to get you in the garden where God is not flesh and blood. And Adam is not flesh and blood. I had to turn out all the knowledge that you were sitting in the pews with to get you in the garden and say God is a voice. You were supposed to see God as a voice without embodiment. A voice is the embodiment. And the God is a spirit. So the spirit is in this voice, but yet it has no body or embodiment. And this voice is speaking by the spirit because it is God. And what it is speaking is the word of God. So discernment should come from the word of God. The word of God is that was spoken out of God, not the letter that we read years later. So the word is spirit and life. So I had to get you back to the garden and say, okay, God says, don't eat. The day you eat, you shall surely die. Inherent. I can't. Do you know what it means? Inherent. Within every word that God speaks to you, discernment is already present. It's already there. You don't have to do nothing but what he said. Don't eat. The day you eat, you shall surely die. Discernment is already there for you. Here comes a serpent that's so subtle in his knowledge, has persuaded a third of the angels in the heavens. Now he's going to mess with a soul. His confidence is, if I've persuaded a third of the angels in heaven, I'm really don't find myself being troubled about a soul. You hear how he's thinking? He's boasting. He's boasting that God is not going to move him out of the earth and send him to hell. He's boasting that he will withstand God through subtlety. He'll withstand God with a people that God is going to bless, do things for. And he's going to turn around and make them curse God. That was his intent always with Job. You saw it. He always wanted to mess with God's person and make them spit in God's face. But guess what? You don't hear none of that when the enemy is talking to you, do you? Because you wouldn't fool with him, would you? You wouldn't even listen to him. Guess what? You don't hear any of that. Now, God, hold it. I got to show you this. Now, this is discernment. Come here. Stand right there. Watch this. Over here, I have made decisions and didn't include God, right? You got to hear this. You got to look at your life and hear this. I asked who? Myself. I decided myself. Okay. I moved. And now I'm going to get my life. I must really commit to the Lord. And I'm over there now. And the serpent still remembers that over here you haven't spoken against. You haven't spoken against you making decisions. You haven't spoken against your knowledge being done. You ain't spoke against it. No, you still trust in it. So no matter what God says to you over there, he can lead her back to this spot. Why does he want you to come to this spot? Because in this spot, no God is at all. Now he can talk to you and you can't even remember what God said over here. Now that's perfect. you want me to do this again? Because that was perfect. The Lord is he's telling me how to teach you. Do you know I don't know how to teach you? I do not know how to teach you. For me to say that, I had to throw out all my knowledge and let the Spirit lead me. And that's why Paul really said, follow me as I follow Christ. Because if I follow Christ, I know how to teach the sheep of God so their soul can be saved. Who's going to reveal this to you? I just understood it myself. How much of you, all your life, this is what the Lord will do, Sister Barbara. All your life, where you ever made a decision, he'll pile it together into one. And it ain't nobody but you. The devil knows in this place you cannot hear who? God. And you're not going to listen to the Holy Ghost in this place because you ain't never listened to the Holy Ghost here. You made all your decisions. I don't care if they were 3 months apart, 6 months apart, 5 years apart, 10 years apart. All of it comes together and stand right here. So you may as well look at your whole life. How many times did I do something and didn't make the... All of that standing right here. Now, the truth is coming. And the Lord is pulling you out for a little bit. Don't you think this is gone? This, where you never made a God decision, didn't acknowledge him, is still standing here. So when the truth is spoke to Ananias and Sapphira, when the truth is spoke to the king leaning upon his staff, when the truth is spoke to Cain, when this truth is spoken to Adam and the woman, there's something over here that they ain't never corrected in their life. And now they think they're going to walk with God. When the truth is spoken to Peter, you're going to deny me. Something over here says he will fight to take care of himself. So when the Lord speaks, he leads the woman away. Where is he leading her? To the place where she never listened to God and did what she wanted and what she felt was right. If he get her in that place, it's over. She's going to do the what?
Same
thing again. And he's going to draw the man away the same way. He's going to be drawn of his own lust where he's always made his decision and never acknowledged God. Why did the proverb say, acknowledge me in? Because we got so many ways we never did what? Listen, can you acknowledge God and fail?
No.
Can you acknowledge God and not get what you at? Then all those times we must have been what? That's how he gets us. But if you ever speak against this, when the Lord pull you out, now you're going to like this one. You ready? Lot, there are two angels sent down in Sodom to get you out. It's a wicked place. Matter of fact, in Revelation, Sodom and Egypt is where our Lord was crucified spiritually. So the spiritual crucifixion of Jesus, where he had to deal with all the spirits of iniquity and the perverseness that you see in the land, it was dealt with. So our Lord was crucified in Sodom and Egypt, according to Revelation. That's the spirit of it. That is not geographically. Geographically, of course, is on the hill. Lot and his wife are out. Are they really out? Are you sure they are? What makes her look back? The spirit that is in her, she ain't never spoke against. And she can't help but look back. Why? She's never spoken against it. I want to tell all of you, I know the Holy Ghost is talking. Any spirit in you that you have never spoken against is your worst enemy. Because it's the place where the enemy gonna bring you to. All he wants to do is get you to the place where he knows you ain't spoke against this. It's too subtle for you to see. You spoke on the surface, but this is deep down in you. So you ain't spoke against this. So when I draw you back into this place where you ain't never spoken against, I got a good possibility to get you to speak against the work of the Lord. Go back one more time. Hold that mic, Mike. The green one.
When he leads us back to that place, we've ourselves said that, okay, this is enough. I'm moving towards God and I'm not looking back, so to speak. When I am led out of that place back to my comfort zone, how am I, or when does God move me, lead me back to him?
Again, a second time or the first time?
Yeah, no, the second time. The first time I think I got it, but
That ain't his responsibility.
Okay.
That's where I got to get everybody to see. Oh no, that ain't his responsibility.
Okay.
The woman was led away because she didn't trust him. Or else how could you be led away? She wasn't adorning herself after the. She ain't found him. So he is constantly going to be the man in your heart. Don't you think, woman, that man can stay in your heart and you're going to love Jesus? It'll never happen. It'll never happen. Because he is not a fornicator, nor is he an adulterer. That's why he put that man to death, so you could be born again and have somebody else in your heart. Now, here's the subtlety. The subtlety is this. When the God of this world talks to you, he doesn't let you see that he's talking to you about your soul. He lets you see your flesh and that you don't want your flesh to suffer. He don't want you to see nothing about your soul. That's what I'm trying to prick your conscience enough to know, that when you exercise yourself, you need to be conscious that this thing is about my soul. You will make a different decision if you are conscious of your soul than you will when you are conscious of your flesh. Do you agree?
Yes.
You make a different decision. So he's got to do that, evangelist. He's got to make us understand that. She's there. Remember, not too long ago in Bible class, Pastor Deborah, she explained everything very well, didn't she? Concerning discernment. I said, she's still not going to make it. Mm-mm. Her knowledge is right, but it's a piece missing that's crucial. And we turned it over and turned it over and had fun. Anybody remember what the answer was, or did I give the answer? Yeah, come on.
Repentance.
Yeah. Because everybody likes to change without doing what? You think God doesn't see how subtle you are. Paul confessed he was what?
Wretched.
Isaiah confessed that what? My man of what? What have you confessed? After hearing all this gospel, what have you confessed about who? Because when she starts confessing about herself, her conscience is going to serve her, because she's grown enough, she's matured enough to now look back and see herself. Now she can speak. So when she speaks, she's wretched. She's not talking about that. She's talking about this over here, that she was messed up and didn't acknowledge God. And now she sees this woman that is not of God, that has never made a God decision, never considered him. Now she's speaking against this, not that.
Testing. My question is, we repent when we feel the spirit of that thing, not when we get back there or after, right?
When I like her saying the spirit of it. Now, what's going to make you repent is you have to have a conscience, right? She can stand right there while I'm preaching. What will her conscience do? Take her all the way back where? Here. Then she can do it, because her conscience brought us here. Her conscience made her what? See herself. And now she can confess to the Lord. Your conscience is supposed to take you back to every part in your life where you didn't acknowledge him, to tear down it. So when the enemy come to search you out, he's coming to search you over here to see if there's anything you left over here you didn't confess and repent, that it was unrighteous, it was evil against God, or you justified it. Because anytime you justify something, you don't repent, do you?
No.
How many times have we said they were wrong and you were right? You ain't spoke against that thing yet, and been in the church for years and wondering why it won't go anywhere, when the gospel's supposed to take your conscience all the way what? Back. That's the power of the new covenant. And that's why he says, without a conscience, you cannot please me. Your conscience has to take you back to confess your iniquity, but it has to grow in God. Your spirit has to get strong enough. That serpent, that devil, Satan is coming to see Jesus. Why? To see if he can what? Find something. What is he looking for? I'm going to help you. That's a good answer. But I don't know if you understand by telling me that. I got to make sure you understand. He is looking for a place in Jesus where he has not repented at the Jordan. Does John baptize Jesus unto repentance?
Yes.
And he said, fulfill all scripture. Jesus is going to teach us how to do what?
Repent.
That's why people, and I'm going into the direction, I'm going to teach this, I'm about to teach the baptism of the heavens. I'm going into that direction. For those that's been following along and been dealing with the baptism in the earth, are moving toward the baptism in the heavens. John baptized Jesus unto repentance. His conscience got to serve him. He's got to repent for everything in the soul of Adam. He's got to repent for everything in the spirit of man. Because the spirit of it, like you said, his conscience is going to meet the spirit of it. You can repent. If a spirit that you have agreed with, when your conscience meets it, it must fall, because your conscience got the power to bring you to repentance. Repentance is what make it fall. You cannot justify your movement. That's the subtlety of the enemy. He makes you justify so you don't repent. And if you justify, he's coming to get you. He's going to search Jesus that day to see if there's a spirit in him that he has not confessed and repented of. Now do you understand why things cycle in us? Because all the enemy got to do is take you back to that place. He's going to take Lot's wife. He's going to make her look bad. Because it's something still in her. She has not rightfully confessed, though the angel has delivered her. The angel delivered her husband. And there's something in her to make her do what? Because what is the subtlety of the enemy? Who does he pull at first? You better say it like you know what you're talking about. Who does he pull at first? And then he tried to get her to do what? Persuade him. Is that how it happened in the soul?
Yes.
Because she is his glory. The woman is the glory of a man. So he would come after her to get her. Because if it happened in the garden, if something works, are you ready to change?
No.
You're going to keep using it.
Yep.
Let me ask you again. What does Job's wife wants to do? Why did that devil come to her first? That ain't nothing new. He did it when? That's why he said, now hear me, this is the first time I can speak it with such authority. This is why I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man, because that means she's got to fight the forces and he's back here. But in this world, where does the devil want every woman? In front. Don't you? The devil don't want her behind. He wants her here. Why? He's got what?
Access.
He don't want a woman to be God's virgin, cause who don't have access no more?
He doesn't.
We don't say Father Earth.
Mother.
We say Mother Earth. Because it reproduces.
Mm-hmm.
It brings forth. He wants something he can put a seed in.
Yes, yes.
And then he'll persuade her to. Like the book of Proverbs. She said, I done made many great men fall. She just hadn't met Jesus. She just ain't met him. Look, we done seen men fall. She just ain't met Jesus. Is that clear? Is that good? Because the questions were perfect. Is that good, everybody? Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. Anyone else? We're good? Yes. Yes.
Connecting back to the first question that was asked, a viewer has a question. What does emptying out the old mean?
Say it again.
Emptying out the old.
MD.
Emptying. You have
empty
the new out vessel, the old vessel, emptying out the old.
It came from the gospel. Jesus said, you don't put new wine in old bottles, they burst. The emptying out of the old is the knowledge. All the knowledge that we have taught ourselves. Can I tell you how much of it is wrong in simplicity? Are you ready to hear me? Because this ain't no easy saying. I just want to know, are you ready to hear me? Are you really ready to hear me? Because what I'm about to say is not easy. Any knowledge in you that did not come by the Holy Ghost is old. Because you received it with another spirit other than the Holy Ghost. So that's the emptying. For example, Saul of Tarsus, who is Paul, he goes to the desert and comes back. There is this emptying. If I told you I went to the desert, you would ask me when. I would tell you the world was my desert, where all the gold, the silver, and everything is. That's a desert. Because it can't save what? My soul. That's the desert. But nobody would call that the desert, but desert boy. Make sense? How are we here? We good? Don't try to, viewer, don't try to take what the Holy Ghost says and mix it with what you know. It's never going to fit. Never. You have to empty it out. And you know what? Anybody that has emptied, do you know how you feel? You feel like you don't know nothing. And then all your knowledge and your age, and you feel like. When you really empty out, you look at your life and it's like you don't know nothing. That ain't a good feeling to the flesh. Now that don't feel good to the flesh, but it feels good to the spirit, because now the spirit can teach you. That emptying? Jesus has to pray in that garden. I'm still talking about this. What is the warfare in the garden? What's the warfare? In the garden of Gethsemane, what's the warfare? The flesh won against the spirit, right? He said what? Not my will, but. This man has raised Lazarus from the dead. The daughter of Nine stopped the funeral session. Took 2 fish and 5 loaves, fed 5,000. This man done walked on water. Cleansed lepers. Opened blind eyes. Healed all kind of sickness and diseases. Walking on water. You would think this man has dealt with everything he's got to deal with, wouldn't you? You wouldn't think there's nothing left, wouldn't you? But that last test is death. Your last test is going to be, will you die for him? That's your last test. He is praying and sweat is coming out of this man. Now, he didn't sweat to call Lazarus, and the man was dead for 4 days. Is anybody hearing me besides me? He didn't sweat walking on water. He didn't sweat when he stopped the storm. He's sweating in that garden because a will is contesting the truth that ain't never been broken. Okay, I'm back. Let me tell all of you something. I'll give you a good sign when you know you're telling the truth. Them devils gonna talk to you while you preaching.
Oh yeah.
And they call me a lot of names that I done heard in the streets. These spirits call names that I done heard people say in the streets and still hear them say it, and they have no conscience and think that stuff is okay. I hear more cursing out of that kingdom than ever. I had to stop just a few minutes ago because they were crazy. I stepped in that kingdom and spoke the truth. And when you speak the truth, they are not going to be quiet. They're going to rage. That's how you know you hit them. That's what spiritual warfare is. And yet they don't have access to my body. Whereas in the world, they got access to their body. But in the church, we can hear that they don't have access to our body because they're dead to us. To be dead to you means it doesn't have access to your members. It doesn't have access to anything in you where they can get an expression out of you. They are dead to you then. But you can hear them. And the Lord lets you hear them because your conscience is so strong that it will not yield to them. You got to hear that. You really got to hear the power of that. Is that making sense? I know I went on a tangent. They started talking. That test. I know one thing. I am forgetting those things which are behind. Now don't have to tell me that. I know that. And I am pressing toward the mark. Not as though I've apprehended that for which I've been apprehended for. But I'm telling you the truth. I have forgotten some things. And I will tell you today, I still have not arrived. I will not be presumptuous another day in my life. And I don't act like I've arrived. But I done forgot some things now. And when I see the light, and all you got to do is hear the truth and let faith take hold and walk in it. So we can be that glorious church. Come on, that glorious church. Come on, that glorious church. Without spot or blemish. We got to be that glorious church. I've got to have hope. There has to be a glorious church. They said Josephus, a Jewish historian, that gave the history of the Old Testament, and I used to read it, and his thing was like crazy large, Josephus. He said it was a 12-mile cloud that covered Israel. 12-mile cloud that covered them. He said that when Abraham took Isaac to offer him up, he wasn't a little 12-year-old kid. He was 25 years old. Because he had enough sense to ask, where's the sacrifice? He said, they saw the glory of God on them. The heathen saw the glory of God on them. We are the church. Shouldn't this glory excel? Come on, church. You know why we shouldn't be fornicators and adulterers? Because the spirit of it is no longer in us, and we ought to be free. Yes. And when we're free, we know how to love one another because we're free.
Yes, Lord.
That's the church. And if he haven't ran those devils out of us, you don't know the church. That's the power of it. The authority. That was good. All the questions are good. That was good. Did it? Everyone's good. Amen. Put your hands together. That was good. That was good. Thank you.